is Tess, and I want to welcome you to the Link Sisterhood podcast. This is a new day and a new season with a new horizon, and we are planning some exciting and beautiful things ahead on this platform for you. And so what we want to do in this moment is to honor the past, but also to embrace the future that God has for us. And so we've put together some of our most cherished, precious moments of Tea with Tess over the past 4 years. And I want to encourage you to share them with your world, to remember with us, and also to celebrate the journey gone by. And watch this space as we go somewhere beautiful together. Okay, so we've been having this conversation for this month, really, with Tea with Tess starting at the beginning of February, around talking about this idea of purpose and calling and destiny. And, you know, it, as a church, we've been sitting in these thoughts and ideas and this framing of vision with the word move. And Dylan unpacked for us that perhaps, you know, we need to be asking ourselves the question, well, what does the next best step look like for me? And we've been talking about how that looks like gathering, and how that looks like giving, and how that looks like, what's the third one? Gathering, giving, someone help me. There's a third one and it's really good and I've gone blank. Anyway, there are three things he spoke about. It's been really, really good. And just this idea of how God is calling us to live in the full inheritance that he has for us. But we can get caught up thinking that inheritance is stuff. Inheritance is things. Growing. Thank you, Candace Henwood, Star Students. So, you know, we've been looking at how we're invited into gathering, we're invited into giving of ourselves, giving of our treasure, the resource that we have. We're invited to serve. We're invited to grow. And there's this invitation to all these things. And what that looks like is the God-breathed life. It's an inheritance that God has for us. And we can get caught up as human beings thinking, well, inheritance must be money and things. But we actually know that inheritance, and Dill's been unpacking this for us on the weekends and Mark so beautifully this past Sunday, that actually inheritance is our identity in him. And that's the greatest inheritance that we can ever get or take hold of, is our identity in him. And I love how one of the amazing theologians once said, I can't remember his name, John Piper, he says this: the gift of the gospel is God himself. And so that's in essence what we've been looking at. This gift, God gives us an inheritance. What is that? It's an identity, but we're from him. So the gift, the inheritance, is actually him. And when we take hold of him, we find out who we really are. But I sensed, as I was preparing for today, there's some of you sitting there going, okay, well, that's great. You know, I do a whole lot of stuff, and you've been talking about identity, and yeah, that's amazing, Tess. It looks so simple for you, but what if you just don't know? Like, you don't know what you're called to. You talk about calling. What even is that? What is my purpose? What is my destiny? Like, I'm in this transition phase. I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I feel like there's more. Or I'm actually working full-time, but I don't know if this is what I'm really supposed to be doing. And for some of you, you know, you hear me say things like, well, what's your next best step? And you think, well, I have no idea. That's why I'm here. So I get it. Sometimes life can be overwhelming and confusing, and we sometimes just go, well, I don't know. This all sounds so great, Tess, but I just don't know. When I try and apply it to myself, when I try and take hold of it for me, I just get stuck. And so I want to challenge you this morning and say, well, what if calling is not ultimately about what we do, but what if it's an identity? What if calling is who we are? Because what we do flows most powerfully and most beautifully from who we are. And so I want to challenge you to say, perhaps when you think about calling, you could reframe the way that you think from doing to being. I know you've probably heard this before, but the reality is there is truth to the statement that we are called to be something, to be someone.
And from the overflow of who that is, we do. And so Romans 1 verse 6 says this. And I want you to, if you're not taking notes, that's fine. But I'd love you if you are, and if you're even feeling suddenly compelled to write the scripture down. We need to be writing down scriptures. We need to be reading them and going back on them. That's how we meditate and learn and grow. So when I read a scripture that I instantly go, that sounds interesting. Like, I need that. I need to know that. Not just like know it, but know it. I need it to embed itself in my soul. So Romans 1 verse 6 is one of those for me. We need to have a revelation of what it means to be called. But we cannot do that if we don't base our knowing on scripture. If we don't stand on a foundation of truth, because this is truth. And then what ends up happening is we formulate all of who we are on our own truth. And like I said before, a few weeks ago, I don't want to base my life off Tess's truth because I am human and my truth will fail me. But that truth, this truth, never fails. Cannot let me down. Cannot. And it won't let you down too. So Romans 1 verse 6 says, I'm going to start reading from verse 5 just to help you get into context. It is through him, Jesus, that we have received grace and our apostleship to promote obedience to the faith and make disciples for his name's sake amongst all the Gentiles. This is Paul talking to the church. He is establishing his calling. But now listen to what he says. And you, say and me, say it aloud, and me. You are also among those who are called of Jesus Christ to belong to him. Calling is an identity, not necessarily only what we do. So what we've done is we've said, well, I'm called to teach. I'm called to be a mom. I'm called, yes, that may be true. But first and foremost, you are called in Christ. He knows your name. He's ushered you to himself so that you would become the likeness of him. And in that becoming, what would flow from you is activity and action and purpose that will begin to shape the world around you. That's what calling does. It's not for us, it's for us. And so when we have a revelation that we're called of Christ to be something, what we do flows from that and begins to shape everything else around us. And that's what makes the true difference. Okay. And so you'll remember I said a few weeks ago, it's in Christ that we find out, Ephesians 1, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. What was the ultimate purpose and mandate of Jesus, okay? If we're going to find out in Jesus who we are and what we're living for, we must understand what his purpose was. So his ultimate mandate and purpose as the Son of God was to show us the Father and then to clear the way for us to see and be with the Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father and ultimately redeem and restore our connection to him. That was his purpose. And so if it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for, all of this must actually be found and established in who? The Father. Our calling is to who? The Father. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? It's not about what we do. That is an overflow of the identity that we find first and foremost in Christ because of who? The Father. Because it's the Father that set in motion the purpose of the Son. To see who? To do what? Be connected to the Father, to see him. And so there's really been a real shift in me and compulsion almost to get back to this, not necessarily get back to, but begin to illuminate further, because I've always had a revelation of the Father. I believe that it's one thing that has happened in my life that is significant is that I have a deep understanding and revelation of the Father. That has happened because of Jesus, by his saving grace, yes, but I have a very healthy and intimate relationship with my Father in heaven. And so much of my identity that I sit in today is not only from hard work that I've done and I've gained, you know, information from people and they've helped me work through things, but I've sat with my Father. And you'll remember when I lost my dad last year, it's almost a year now actually, which is wild in itself. I preached at a sisterhood about a week and a half after he passed away, 2 weeks. And I won't forget, I remember standing up there and saying the words, "I am not fatherless." That's a lie from the pit of hell. I could only say that because the reality is that I have a deep, intimate relationship with my Father in heaven. And although my earthly father may no longer be here, and obviously that is painful and horrendous and all the things. For some of you, you have an earthly father here on earth and yet you feel fatherless. You don't have a connection with them, or they are not present, or they have rejected you or abandoned you. And I want to say to you this morning, like, you have access to someone who is far greater and better than any earthly father could ever be, and he will not fail you, and he will not let you down, and he will not reject you, and he will not put you to shame, and he sees you and he knows your name, and he's calling you unto himself, and he's made a way for you to connect with him and be with him by the power of his Son and what he did at the cross. He set all of that in motion. And so I really feel that the time is now for all of us to begin to pursue a relationship with our Father in heaven, because he desperately wants to have a relationship with you, desperately, and he's working on that even when you're not. Even when we're all good and we don't need him and we're working it out and we're just fine, he's still coming after you. Still pursuing your heart. Still whispering things into the depths of your soul, because he's a good father. Still giving you gifts even when you don't expect them, want them, or need them. He's not a genie in a bottle that we rub and we get things. He's a dad. He knows what we need. And he's always making a way for that. Always. And so I want to read to you from Ephesians 4, because we've been camping in this scripture for the past few weeks. And Dil actually shared this scripture on Sunday, I think. I can't remember, actually. He shared it with me and I was like, wow, this is big. Like, we need to catch this. And I've read the scripture many times, but this I haven't perhaps taken hold of. And it says, it's actually, sorry, Ephesians 3 verse 14. It's not Ephesians 4. It's called a prayer for the Ephesians, but I actually want to read, it's called, in the NIV, it's titled something else, which I actually love. So let me get that quickly. It's just a little bit more. Oh, it's not, it's the NKJV. Boo. So it's not going to work. Anyway, we'll go there another time. But it says this in verse 14, Ephesians 3. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." So what is a name? It's an identity. We name things to give them substance and identity. And this is Paul speaking to the church about why he's doing what he's doing. And he says, well, I kneel before the Father because it's from him that I derive my name, my identity. And so let's go to this beautiful, Amplified version. of the Bible, because hello, also helpful. And it says this: "For this reason, grasping the greatness of this plan by which Jew and Gentiles are joined together in Christ, I bow my knee in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, God the first and ultimate Father." You may have been named by earthly parents, but actually there is only one and first Father. And he, because of Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross, he gives you a name. He knows your name. And he's calling your name. And so our identity is set in the Father. And so we are called first and foremost. When you don't know what to do, you don't know what your calling is, you're like, Tess, this is all grown on paper, but I still don't know. We can rest in the fact that we are called of Jesus to sit with the Father who gives us our name. There's no striving in that. There's no outworking in that. You don't outwork your identity. Your identity is given to you, and it's given to us by God the Father. We're spending a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money trying to figure out who we are. And I truly, truly believe in the depth of my being with great conviction, if we would sit with the Father, and by sitting with him, I mean get in his word, sit in his presence. It doesn't have to look like or sound like or be like anything, but to sit with him and to ask him to come and be with you, to reveal who you are, because he will show you, because that is his power, that is his privilege, that is what he, only he can do. And so I suppose what I'm trying to do this morning is to strip some of the striving off of us when it comes to this conversation of purpose and calling, to help us all be able to rest in the knowledge that he's the one. You are not going to find out who you are by clambering after your earthly dad or your husband or your friends. They do not hold the power to give you identity. They don't. And they can't carry that weight. And so what we do is we end up feeling like let down and disillusioned by people, but also we place undue pressure on them to give us something that they cannot give us. The greatest thing that happened to me when I got saved, because listen, we live in a fallen world. You can have the best parents in the world. I have amazing parents. My dad was a good dad. That even the best parents cannot give children the identity that they were ultimately created for. Hello, does that not take the pressure off of us? We cannot do it. We have to rely on the fact that God, the Father, will meet with them through the power of his Son, Jesus Christ, and give them the name that they were predestined to have. So we can rest as parents knowing that actually that's not on us. Yes, we must do a good job. And yes, we must raise them in the way that we know how. And we must submit to him for guidance and allow the Spirit to lead us in this way. But can I help you, parents? You cannot give your children the identity that they were created for. It can only be given by the Father. And how are they going to meet the Father? Through the Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what? They must all have their own personal interaction and encounter with Jesus Christ for that to be real and true. They cannot survive and live off your faith. They cannot. I cannot hope. I cannot place my hope in the fact that my children will morph into some Christian faith because of what Dylan and I do, or the faith that I have. I have to place my hope and trust in Jesus Christ and know that he will call them to himself. And when they have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, who will they see? Who will be revealed to them? The Father. And what will they gain? They will gain their identity. I cannot carry the weight of that, and nor can you. And some of us have been placing undue pressure and tension and expectation on people in our world to give us what we're desperately crying out for. And I'm telling you now, they cannot do it. It's killing relationships. We need to stop it. And we need to go to the Father. The Father. Because He is the ultimate one who can give us everything that we truly need. And so you know what happened when I got saved? And then a few years on, had a deep revelation of the Father God. I lifted all of that pressure off my parents. There's no blame. They did a good job. They did a good job. But this is a fallen world, and I needed to figure out my identity. Where was I going to find that? Not in them, not in my husband. I spent many years trying to find out who I was by asking for Dylan's approval every step of the way. But you know what? He could not give that to me. It was killing him trying to do so. And so you know what I had to do? I had to figure it out with my Father in heaven. And I'm still on that journey, and He is still, by the power of His Son and the kindness and the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, leading me further and further into that identity of who I am in Him. But I do not wrestle with, am I called? I am called. I'm called. What does that look like every day? It looks like serving the local church. It looks like being a mother. It looks like loving my husband. It looks like praying for people. But who I am, who am I called to be? Hopefully, year on year, that looks more like Tess. And when people see Tess, they see the Son. They see Jesus. They see Him.